Hello and welcome to another episode of the Team Called Palace podcast with Ben Watts, with Matt Watts, and we're not chatting off the back of a game. We're joining you to preview the next one against Nottingham Forest and also catch up on a few things that have happened over this international break. First of all, Matt, have you had a nice weekend or two not worrying about Palace?
Yeah, it's been a little bit strange. I think we're kind of used to having a week off. The 2 weeks off does feel a little bit weird. Obviously, we're both still working. We're both still covering the EFL. So it never really stops. But yeah, nice to have a little break from Palace. But at the same time, looking forward to getting back into it for the kind of final stretch of the season.
You're telling me I had a 600-mile round trip this weekend. But let's not worry about that. Let's think international. And before we talk about the actual fixtures for England, etc., the mini pre-season that Palace had flying to warmer climates than the one we currently live in here in the UK, heading to sunny Spain, a little bit of a mid-season friendly, if you will, for them out there. I suppose we got this game to look at least. What did you make of it?
Yeah, so we beat Bodo Glimt, the Norwegian champions, who have picked up a few scalps in the Champions League in the last few years. We beat them 1-0. Of course, it's their pre-season. They're building up to their season. Iberieze got the goal. A really nice finish from him. It was really interesting how Oliver Glasner decided to play a different 11 in each half. So I think the first half was clearly the stronger 11. But then there were lots of opportunities for younger players in the second half. Obviously, it was a little bit disjointed. But yeah, nice to get a win. And I think he will have learned a lot from watching the players in that game.
Yeah, you'd obviously like to think that over this period, he's really had that opportunity to become that bit more accustomed to his players and know a little bit more about them. And I guess this trip overseas will have helped him do that. The only downside, I guess, being I think Olsen Edward picked up an injury while he was out there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And obviously that's a blow because it's not an area where we are particularly blessed. But yeah, as you said, a really good opportunity for him to get to know his players a bit better. Really good opportunity for him to see some of the players that he wouldn't have seen a great deal of yet. I mean, in that second half, we had the likes of Franco Uma and Danny Imre on the pitch. They were both playing slightly out of position, but great to see them playing. Obviously, someone like David Ozo as well, another chance for him to impress the manager. So yeah, I think it would have been really positive. And obviously as well for the players, just nice for them to get away. Hasn't been a particularly nice winter, has it? They get a chance to go to Marbella, do some training. I'm sure they had a bit of fun as well. But yeah, a really good opportunity for them. And hopefully we'll see the benefits of this in the weeks ahead.
And while I mentioned one injury, we know that there's another because Sam Johnson has withdrawn from the England squad midway through the international period. For me, the fact that we do have Dean Henderson, I actually don't feel too worried about it. Forrester, a former club of his, if he had to step in, I'm sure he'd do a fine job.
Yeah, as you said, it's somewhere that he's done well in the past. I'm sure he'd be very keen to put on a performance, not just because it's against Forest, but also because he wants to get the number one jersey back. So yeah, we're going to have to wait and see.
Obviously no Mark Gahey in the England squad at this point in time due to his own injury, but a certain Brighton centre-back played against Brazil perhaps in his absence and might not be booking himself a plane ticket too soon at least.
Yeah, I think Mark Gahey's case to be on that plane in the summer probably got a little bit stronger after that game against Brazil. As you said, Lewis Dunk kind of needlessly gave the ball away. Brazil broke and scored. Obviously, the game was very disjointed at that point, but yeah, it's not the sort of thing I would expect Mark to do. I think someone like Jared Branthwaite as well, sitting on the bench, might not have been the worst thing for him. So yeah, Lewis's pain might well be Mark's gain.
And you mentioned the EFL, Palace Loney playing in the lower divisions was on the telly box over this period and I think got the Man of the Match award.
Yeah, he did. So I was actually writing this one up. So I tuned into the game, Colchester against Mansfield, Colchester going away from home to the league leaders in League Two. And Owen Goodman put in a fantastic performance. He made three really good saves. One of them was absolutely outstanding. It was a close range header headed into the ground. It looked as though the ball was past him, but the left hand came out to make a really good stop. Really promising from a Palace perspective because Owen Goodman is only 20 years old. This is his first loan. There have been a couple of sticky moments in recent weeks. There's been a few that he might want back. But yeah, I think for me, it's pretty clear that he's got a lot of potential.
And we've had a striker in Luke Plange who's had a few loans in recent times and has even been on the bench in recent weeks for the first team. But he's got himself a new venture for the next few months or so.
Yeah, so Luke Plange, who recently scored a hat-trick for the under-21s, he's heading out on loan to Helsinki. And this is, of course, the club where Aki Rihalahti is the CEO. We all saw Aki and Mikel over a few weeks ago. I assume this was why, to be honest with you, because Luke Plange is heading out there on loan for their season. I think it's a really good opportunity for Luke. Don't get me wrong, the Finnish league is not a fantastic standard, but they will be playing in European competition. I think it's the sort of move that he needs. He needs a loan move that goes well. You'd like to think that this one will. You'd like to think that Aki's going to look after him. So, yeah, fingers crossed it goes well for Luke because, as you said, he's had a few loan spells away from Palace so far. He went to Molenbeek last season. He went to Carlisle at the start of this season. Neither of those moves really worked. So you do feel as though Luke needs this one to work.
And from a country where the temperature is quite often freezing to a freeze of our own when it comes to ticket prices for next season, Matt.
Yeah, so Palace recently announced that the season ticket prices for next season have been frozen, which I think is fantastic news. We all know that at the minute, everything seems to be going up. Every bill that you get, there's an increase on the last year. So I think this is one of those things where it will build a little bit of goodwill between the club and the fan base. And I think some of that goodwill has been eroded a little bit in recent times. I think it's almost the club's way of saying, yes, we know this season hasn't been particularly easy. We know there have been some tough times, but we really want you to stick with us during this new era under our new manager. So yeah, fair play to Steve Parish and fair play to the club.
And regarding supporters, a new record attendance for Crystal Palace women at Selhurst Park and, most importantly, the points too for them in their most recent game.
Yeah, Palace women made it consecutive wins at Selhurst Park. They've definitely got that monkey off their back now. They beat Watford women 3-0 on Sunday, and that was a really good win because Sunderland won as well. They beat Durham, so they are still top. We've still got that game in hand over them. We've still got the better goal difference. And also, Charlton lost to London City, which is another really good result for us. So, yeah, a fantastic day for Palace women. They've got four games left. Quite simply, if they win them all, they're going up to the WSL.
Yeah, tense part of the season for them, but still churning out those results. Like you say, two late goals from London City Lionesses as well to overturn Charlton. So, yeah, Palace women's destiny in their own hands. And yeah, if they could get that win on the game in hand, they'd have a 2-point advantage at the top. So yeah, let's hope that they can keep on winning as the season comes to a conclusion. And talking about winning, who's currently top of the team called Palace Podcast Fantasy Premier League?
Unfortunately, I believe it is you. I also believe you've got some quite close competition though from your brother and from my wife. Unfortunately, I'm nowhere near the top, but she's kind of flying the flag for me at the minute.
I did actually have a scroll through and couldn't find where you were in the league, so you might have to tell me. But yes, my brother is second in the league and your wife is seventh, so it's tight in there. We got three Wattses in the top 10 at least. So yeah, if anyone can overhaul us come the end of the season, good luck to you. It's obviously a crunch sort of period with double game weeks and wild cards flying about and bench boosts, etc. I, like many people, wasted my free hit last time around. So let's not talk too much about that low scoring game week while the FA Cup was going on. And let's move on to our next fixture for the men's side in the Premier League against Nottingham Forest, taking a trip to the City Ground. And yeah, how are you kind of assessing this one, Matt? Because they're obviously below us in the table. They're obviously trying to maintain their status in the league and might be slightly nervously looking over their shoulders. So how do you think both teams will be approaching this one?
Unfortunately, I think the elephant in the room is the points deduction, isn't it? Because before that, I was probably feeling slightly more confident. I feel as though it's the sort of thing where it can galvanise a fan base. It can bring a club together. And listen, I think the City Ground is always a tough place to go, but I think it'll be even tougher off the back of that. As we know, Forest have been deducted 4 points for breaching PSR rules. They are going to appeal it. And I believe that appeal may not be heard until after the end of the season, which seems quite ridiculous to me. But yeah, I do think that it's going to be a really tough game. They're going to be desperate to claw some of those points back straight away. And they will be looking at this fixture as one that they can kind of target.
What did you make of the 4 point deduction that they've received? Because it's effectively the same as Everton's 6 points, but it's been reduced by a couple due to them complying with the authorities, etc. They themselves put forward some suggestion that there were mitigating factors around their finances. For example, they sold Brennan Johnson at the end of the transfer window, but that didn't get included because they had a deadline in June or something. I guess it's one of those where it feels like FFP at the moment is hurting smaller clubs when it was introduced to try and maybe even things up a little bit. But at the same time, I think you've been doing a bit of research on Forest spending, and it's hard for them to maybe suggest that they haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah, I think the Premier League are certainly cutting their teeth on some of the smaller clubs. I think they will move on to some of the bigger clubs. But I think for me, Forest's biggest mitigation is the fact that they were in the Championship and they came up to the Premier League. They had a lot of players on loan and out of contract. They wanted to be able to compete, so they spent a lot of money. I think the biggest issue for them is the fact that in that first year, it felt as though the club were signing players that the club wanted. Steve Cooper was signing players that Steve Cooper wanted. And then Angelos Marinakis was signing players that he wanted. And basically, they just signed too many players. I spent half an hour on Transfermarkt earlier today. And since promotion, Forest have spent €326 million in their first two seasons. Now, in the last three seasons, Palace have spent €200 million. And Forest's figure of €326 million, that's actually more than Palace have spent in the last seven seasons. You have to go back to that season where we signed Christian Benteke under Alan Pardew, and when Sam Allardyce came in and spent loads of money in January. That's the only season that kind of takes us over what Forest has spent in the last 2 years, which does seem quite remarkable, to be honest with you, especially when you bear in mind the fact that we had the summer under Patrick Vieira where we spent a decent amount of money. It was kind of just shy of €100 million. So I think that just goes to show how much they have spent. As I said, I think for me, they just signed too many players. They signed some good players and they haven't spent loads of money on individuals. There's lots of kind of £20 million signings, but just too many of them. And I think, to be honest with you, actually, it's hurt them as well, because there have been lots of times over the last sort of 18 months or so where you look at their squad and you just think, you've got too many options. You've got too many players that aren't happy because they're not playing. And, you know, how do you get your best 11 when you've got so many players of a similar ability? So I think when you compare what Forest has spent in the last couple of years to what we've spent in the last few years, it does kind of really stand out. And I think it's interesting, these clubs that are being hurt by PSR, the likes of Everton, Forest and Leicester, quite simply, they've just spent money badly. And when you spend money badly, quite often it means you just spend more money.
Well, quite. And that's why Nottingham Forest have ended up buying a goalkeeper to replace the bad goalkeeper that they bought to replace their original goalkeeper. And they've basically signed a new keeper every transfer window, haven't they, since they've come up, it feels like. And as you were saying, in terms of the sheer volume of players they bought, they ended up leaving some of them out of their squad last season. Lewis O'Brien ended up in the MLS because they bought him and couldn't squeeze him into the group. And I guess that shows what a basket case Forest have been in terms of filling their nest and signing players left, right and centre. In terms of the group that they do have, there are some very good players in there. And obviously we're going to have to, you know, be keeping tabs on a few in particular.
Yeah, and I think for me, Morgan Gibbs-White is the standout. I think he's Forest's best player in terms of attacking threat. I think a lot of the good things they do go through him. I think also he's one of their more reliable players. They do have some very good players, the likes of Taiwo Awoniyi, but he does seem to be fairly injury prone. On his day, he is a real handful, though. And obviously, we saw him score against us at the back end of last season. He is a real threat up front. So, yeah, listen, they do have threats. I mean, I think Anthony Elanga is someone who's come in this season and has looked really bright. Obviously, we spoke a little bit in the summer about the fact that we needed a winger. I think we mentioned Anthony Elanga. We mentioned probably Callum Hudson-Odoi more, but Elanga seems to have been the one who's been a bit more consistent. So, yeah, listen, they do have attacking threats. Obviously, they're now managed by Nuno, and we had quite a few battles with Nuno's sides when he was Wolves manager. There was even some talk, of course, about him coming to Palace, and I must admit, I'm quite pleased that didn't happen, but I think he will have been working on trying to get them a bit more defensively secure, because that has been an issue for Forest for quite a while now. But he is someone that you associate with having quite a solid team. So, yeah, I think it's going to be quite a cagey affair. Can't see this game being particularly high scoring. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a real battle. And I'm really hoping that off the back of this break, it's going to be one that we're ready for.
Yeah, there's been some talk about Forest having to potentially sell some of those prized assets in order to comply with profit and sustainability rules next season. Murillo there, centre half as well, is another one that's been talked about as a possible player they might be forced to sell for quite good money. And yeah, I think there was a rumour or something about Nuno being in discussions with us, and there was something about us signing Adama Traore or something. He was obviously a player that was available on a free transfer. Nuno worked with him at Wolves. Either way, we didn't end up with either of them. So, yeah, we come up against Nuno again. And as you say, sometimes it's not the most riveting football to watch when Palace teams come up against his sides. But obviously, Ole Glasner's had that time on the training pitch to work with his players. And I don't know, what do you think is going to be key for us in terms of going up there and getting a result?
Well, I think defensively, we're going to have to be organised. We're going to have to be resolute, because we will be tested. I think especially in that kind of first 15, 20 minutes, as I said, I think there'll be a really good atmosphere. I think the fans will be really up for it. So we need to make sure that we are switched on and ready to go from the off. Obviously, set pieces. Forest are quite a big and physical side. That was something that Steve Cooper really kind of built into his team. They had lots of big, strong players. That's going to be an issue. And then, of course, the last 15, 20 minutes of the game, has Ole Glasner managed to do much work on the fitness? Obviously, at this stage of the season, it's really hard to get that into the players. But I think also for me, like mentally, how are we going to cope mentally in those last 15, 20 minutes? Can we be strong? Can we be resolute? Can we keep teams out? So, yeah, I think defensively, we are going to have to be very good. I would like to think that going the other way, we can cause them some problems. Obviously, we'd like to think that Abir Eze is going to be a bit fitter, a bit kind of more up to match speed than he was before the break. Jordan Ayew, he was injured before the break. Hopefully, he's going to be fitter as well. And then we really want someone like Jean-Philippe Mateta to carry on the form that he was showing too.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say Eze and being fit and firing, is that the key for us for this one? And I guess him combined with Elise, you know, those two being able to play as a pair going forward could be, you know, what defines our back end of the season.
Yeah, it could. And hopefully it's just like the back end of last season, because they were both electric when Roy Hodgson came in towards the end of the last campaign. We know that Michael Elise is edging closer to fitness. He didn't go to Marbella, but he was stepping up his rehab in London. So hopefully he isn't too far away, but at the same time, hopefully we're not going to rush him back. Yeah, I think for me, for someone like Ebbs, this last part of the campaign is really important, because if he's got any kind of aspirations of breaking into that England squad, he needs to have a barnstorming end to the season at Palace. So, yeah, fingers crossed it happens.
And for these final few games of the season as well, it feels like an exciting time for the fans to, you know, really get to look at those January signings a little bit more. Both, of course, have been on international duty. Adam Wharton with the England elite squad, or whatever the under-20s is now called. And Daniel Munoz, how's it taken me this long in the podcast to talk about his worldy goal at the London Stadium? Colombian fans going absolutely bonkers afterwards. That's how you have an atmosphere, West Ham.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? West Ham can't seem to generate any kind of atmosphere at the London Stadium. You stick a load of South Americans in there and it's absolutely rocking. But yeah, a fantastic goal from Daniel Munoz. And of course, they were using a silver ball, just like the ones they used in Euro 2004 as well. I must admit, I had that ball and I absolutely loved it. So delighted to see Daniel Munoz scoring a worldie with it. Of course, the celebrations look fantastic. Great to see Jefferson Lerma involved as well. But yeah, hopefully he can reproduce something like that for Palace in the coming weeks.
Yeah, it was a quality assist from Luis Diaz as well, to be fair. But the volleyed finish from Munoz. And of course, Matt, to follow the game against Nottingham Forest, we're playing Bournemouth on the Tuesday night as well. A couple of games in quick succession. So across these two, obviously Bournemouth under Iraola had a really flying spell, didn't they? Where they were picking up points left, right and centre after a slow start, maybe a little bit more back down to earth in recent times. How many points would you anticipate or hope for us to pick up over these two?
I think it goes without saying that I would love us to get 6 points, but I think for me, one win would be really good. I think 4 points would be a fantastic return. If we could be unbeaten in these two games, I would be delighted. And they are important games because when you look at the games following that, we've got a home game against Man City and then an away game against Liverpool. So I do feel as though we do need to pick up some points. Obviously, we are feeling quite comfortable at the minute. But yeah, I think another win and then I'm really starting to look forward to next season.
Well, let's very much hope that that can come at the City Ground. Matt, thanks for your thoughts on this particular podcast. We'll be back recording another one very soon. In the meantime, we're on Twitter, X, TC Palace Pod. We're on Facebook, Team Called Palace. This podcast is on Spotify and iTunes, as you probably well know. If you want to sign up to the newsletter, we had our first edition come out a couple of weeks ago. teamcallpalacepod@gmail.com. I've nailed it. Matt celebrating in the background. You can ping us a line with your details and yeah, sign up for that. So thanks for tuning in, Palace fans. Have a pleasant week. We'll be back with Premier League football again before you know it.